Welcome back to the second hour of Guitar Tracks. I'm your host, Brian Tarquin. I had the pleasure of sitting down with Greek guitar shredder and Ozzy's guitarist from his album Scream, Gus G. Now, Gus has won 2 Metal Hammer Awards, God of Riffs and Best Shredder. So he goes on to tell me his influences in college life.
I grew up in Greece, obviously. So the culture here is mainly Greek folk music. My father, he was singing during the weekends. That was not his profession. It was kind of like his second, like his side gig. He was a teacher in a high school, but he was singing at weddings and stuff like that. And he, you know, we had a lot of records at home, primarily Greek music, but he also had some rock vinyl. He has like some Pink Floyd stuff and Queen, and he had Eagles. I mean, that's how I got acquainted to rock music through my dad, you know, by listening to the Beatles and Pink Floyd and things like that. And it was a record he had from Peter Frampton, Frampton Comes Alive. Yeah, he was listening to the song Do You Feel Like We Do one day, and I was just like a kid, you know, like 9 years old, and I thought it was incredible, you know, it blew my mind. And it's like one of those things where you have this vision, I guess, that, oh, this is what I envision myself doing, like standing up on that stage playing guitar, not really knowing what that thing is anyways. But yeah, later on, like around a year after that, my dad got me a classical guitar and I started taking lessons like at a local music school. I didn't like the fact that I got classical guitar because I wanted to play electric. Anyways, but yeah, I started playing at 10, around the age of 10, and just going to a local music school. You know, my teacher, she was a sweet lady. You know, she could play a little bit of piano, a little bit of guitar, a little bit of accordion, kind of like a little bit of everything. So it was just like a lot of basic stuff the first 4 years until I went to a conservatory and I got an electric guitar, and then I got heavily into practicing and studying. When I was that young, I didn't understand much. When I became a teenager, I started, you know, really exploring more, and at least I felt the urge to explore more of the guitar. And I went to conservatory here in Thessaloniki, where I live, and you know, luckily I had really good teachers. You know, I learned theory properly and studied a bit of jazz harmony and took ear training lessons, and of course, you know, I had a really good teacher who, you know, I learned how to sight read and learned about a lot of things, basically, you know, a lot of knowledge. And it right around the time, you know, I had a teacher who inspired me to do a lot of my own searching as well. And, you know, of course, I was getting into heavy metal stuff and all that and listening to shred guitar players. And that was like revelation to me. So that's where I enter my heavy practicing years. I went to Berkeley right after that. I mean, I went to the conservatory here for about 3 years, and then I had auditioned for Berkeley. They had like some teachers that would go to some countries around Europe and just audition kids, you know. And I went to this audition, and I got like some kind of scholarship for the summer program they had. So I spent the summer of '97 in Boston. I went to Berklee College, and you know, I made friends there, and I was excited. I wanted to go back and study full time. So I come back to Greece. I finish high school. Right after I graduated, I flew back to America. I got another scholarship to study full time. So yeah, like 18 years old, I came out to Boston to go to college, and I dropped out after 1 month, actually. I did, yeah. The whole thing was planned out, and then I went out there, and I was like, after a month, I was like, what, you know, what is this? Fuck this, you know, like I'm out. I think I went through a period where I was done with academic stuff, you know, just like studying, and I was just done with it, man. I just wanted to rock out, you know. I just wanted to form a band and rock and write songs, and just, I was ready for the experience, you know, not sit on another desk and write another exercise or something. Or I wasn't into that anymore. So I made up my mind pretty quickly as soon as I went there that, okay, this is not going to work out here. So I was like, you know, I'll just return my scholarship and then get a refund for the rest of the money. And then I'll just, I spent it on a recording. Then I spent the money on a recording. I stayed the whole semester anyways because I had rent out the apartment. That's basically the beginnings of Firewind. I named that project Firewind. It wasn't really a band. It was just me and some friends helping me out, basically. I mean, right after that, I went down to Florida. As I told you before, I went to Fort Lauderdale because my mom's brother, my uncle, he lives there. So I moved in with his family and stayed there for a few months. And I worked at his restaurant and just checked things out, you know, to see what's happening then. But, you know, it was like late 90s and it was just a really bad period for like classic heavy metal and that kind of thing. It was really, really bad. I was disappointed. I'm like, wow, I'm here in America and like nobody's listening to this shit that I'm listening. Like, so what's going on here? Like, yeah, I remember it wasn't even cool to play solos then. And screw this, I'm going back to Greece. And then I was figuring out what to do.
Yeah, that was a dark time for American rock guitar. I remember everybody was anti-guitar. Now he goes on to tell me how the new Scandinavian metal scene kind of inspired him.
I realized for some friends here back home that they were recording in a studio in Sweden, and I mean I saw that there was a big Scandinavian metal scene coming out, you know, in the underground. And those guys, those friends of mine, they were a band called Exhumation. They're not around anymore anyways, but they were recording at Studio Fredman with this guy Frederick Nordstrom, and that guy, he was producing all those bands. And I just ended up staying there for like a few months. And I started a band with their producer, the guy who had the studio, and a band called Dream Evil. So crazy time, you know. I was just basically, I moved in with the guitar player of In Flames. He took me in and hung out there as long as I could. You know, I didn't speak the language and I had no money, but I was just trying to get something happening. Yeah, I mean, it took about 3 years. You know, this is like late, like 99. Probably fall of 99. And then like the first record that I did with Dream Evil didn't come out until 2002. Like we were working on it for like about 2.5 years. And when we put out that record, you know, it was actually successful right away in Japan and Central Europe. And we went on tours and played all the big festivals. So like everything kind of changed overnight. Things started happening. And I was involved in other projects, like trying to get Firewind off the ground too. And I was trying like until, and in 2002, 2003, everything happened at once for me. Like all the projects I was working with, they got signed to labels. And of course we're a big Dio fan. So we took that name from his album, just like I named Firewind off a Uli John Roth album. So I did like three records with Dream Evil. I did three records with a band in Germany called Mystic Prophecy. Cause I would play with anybody who would have me play guitar. Basically, I would just join these bands and it was all about the experience, and not only like live experience, but in the studio. I wanted to learn how to write more songs and better songs and write with other people and see how people work in the studio. And so, you know, I was just like a sponge, just kind of like absorbing everything, you know, all the info. I think in 2005, I got a call from Arch Enemy to fill in as a second guitar player because Michael Amott's brother, Chris, quit the band. And they had a big tour in America. They were going to do Ozfest. And you know, around that time, I was kind of like a up-and-coming guitar player. You know, I already had a name in Japan, already like being considered one of the young guys in the scene. Because that's the thing, like around like early 2000s, all of a sudden, there was a movement from Scandinavia that made guitar solos cool again. I was kind of like right in the middle of all that, all those things that were happening, you know, bands like Arch Enemy or Children of Bodom or, you know, In Flames or, you know, guys like myself, you know, we were like guys at that time that were doing that thing, you know, but with a more fresh approach. So anyway, so 2005, I go out and tour with Arch Enemy in the States. I do that. And then I decide I'm going to quit all the projects and focus on Firewind. I wanted to build up my own band finally. And I did that, you know, like, we kept making albums. You know, in 2006-7, we did our first world tour.
I remember the early 2000s introduced a revitalization of nu metal and younger cats bringing in their influences. So I had to ask him, of course, how he got the gig with Ozzy and how it obviously changed his life.
And Ozzy came around 2009. It's a good question because I don't really know. Yeah, I don't know. I think he has people in the office, you know, obviously that's making a list of guitar players. And obviously, like I said, I was kind of the up and coming guys in the scene. And I guess I must have been on that list somehow. Some of the guys at the office were keeping their ear on the ground because they knew which up and coming bands were there from booking bands at Ozzfest, because Ozzfest was a big platform for young bands. You know, I don't know, maybe they saw me with Arch Enemy. Maybe they knew me from Fireman. And I think they just gave him a list of players. And I heard at least that, you know, when he heard me, he said, okay, that's the guy, you know, I'd like to check this guy out. And they, you know, they got in touch with me and they said, you know, would you like to audition? And yeah, that was a wild moment, obviously. And yeah, I learned a bunch of songs and they flew me out to LA. And I think I was just finishing up like some tour in England or something with Firewind. And I learned a bunch of songs and then I went to the States for 24 hours, you know, just to audition. And yeah, I got the gig right there on the spot. You know, it went well, really well. You know, we clicked. I guess I did well. He liked what he heard and they asked me to come back and do a gig with him and try things out. Like they sent me a list of four or five songs. And I mean, I learned like eight or nine songs, you know, just to be prepared. And actually it was good that I learned more songs because he actually requested for a couple of more and I happen to know them. That's the school of heavy metal that I grew up on. All the 80s stuff and a little bit of 70s too, because I'm a big Schenker fan, UFO and stuff like that. And of course, Black Sabbath's my favorite band. So, you know, I knew all the Sabbath stuff. And I love Randy. I love the Zach stuff, Jake Lee also. Yeah, of course. I mean, mind you, when I was in 98 or 99, when I was in America, when I told you I lived in Florida for a while, I got to see Ozzy live because Ozzy had never been to Greece, at least, to play up until then. But I went to see Ozzy on Ozzfest 99. Where was it? West Palm Beach or something? I don't know. I remember where they did it. But, you know, my uncle took me there and I saw him and Joe Holmes was playing guitar. It's crazy. Like 10 years later, I would play with him. It's pretty wild. I think they kind of like did a tryout. I played a couple of festivals with him. And then like the next day it was like, okay, come down to the studio to listen to this stuff. They had me try out to record some solos over the stuff he was working on with Kevin Cherko, the producer. And then like I flew back to Greece, stayed there for like about 10 days and I flew back to Greece. And then I didn't hear anything from them for about a month. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Are they going to use this stuff or did they like it? They didn't say. And then I got an email like a month later from Sharon. She said, you know, we love what you did and we'd like you to come back and like properly work on this album and like probably do all the guitars from scratch. Like, because at that point it was just demo guitars that Kevin, producer, had played. So that's when I officially, I think that was like the official call, you know, like, okay, now we're going to work on the album. And I went back and I did, like I spent a month and a half in the studio doing guitars and retracking everything and, you know, creating solo parts because they had no solo parts. They had nobody to do that at the time. So, you know, Zach was out. So, yeah. So yeah, I mean, my job was to basically, you know, make it look like as cohesive on the guitar part as possible, obviously, to make it sound like an Aussie album, even though it was more modernized and a bit different. So just trying to keep that vibe on there, you know. It was already written, you know. The only thing I added on the record was a song called Digging Me Down. Like there's kind of like a 1.5 minute acoustic intro that I came up with there. I came up with that. Yeah man, like everything happened pretty fast after that. Like after we finished, actually I came back home and then they had me to fly back out there just to redo one last solo. Yeah, man. And you know what? Sharon insisted on that and she was right because that song was going to be the first single, which was Let Me Hear You Scream. And she's like, you know, Gus, like this is going to be the first time fans are going to hear you and they have to be blown away. And she said, I think you can do better. Whenever I played a solo for somebody, everybody was always very happy and very pleased and stuff. And it was kind of like the first time where somebody said, you know what? You can do better than this. Like, and then I took it like very, not seriously, but I started thinking of what she said, like, you know, it's going to be indeed like try to imagine being a fan and listening to a new Aussie record. And then there's this guitar player that you don't know, you never heard of. And like, what are you going to think? You know, what's it going to be the first thing you're going to hear from him? So it was a lot of pressure, you know? So I really like thought about it, like what should this solo be? And she was right. You know, I put more work, more thought into that. And that became that track, Let Me Hear You Scream. So I went back, I redid that solo. And from there on, it was all like really happening really fast. Like before we knew it, we were doing promo, like photo shoots, video shoots, TV shows, you know, like the late night stuff in America. And then like off we go on tour for like 2 years. It's crazy. We started in 2010, like I think spring 2010 or like around May, something like that. And the tour finished like in the fall of 2011. So just over like year, about like 15 months. But, you know, if you think about that, the fact that I was working also on the album like a few months prior to that, it was almost like 2 year period. Yeah. He didn't do another record until like 10 years later, you know. I mean, what happened was during that tour, it was decided that there was going to be the Black Sabbath farewell, the reunion and the farewell. That slowed him down on his solo career. Because while we were on the road, he was already like talking about going back and doing the follow-up. And I was already writing ideas, and we even kind of like co-wrote a couple of things on the road, and the band would record. We would record basically ideas on sound checks, and you know, I would give him the tapes, and then he you know, he was writing some stuff over it, like vocal ideas, and he would show them to me, and like we went back and forth. It was really cool, like in the beginning. And then, you know, it was when that whole Sabbath thing came into play, I think all ideas like that were scratched. And it was like one of those things, you know, we went back home after the tour, and then you didn't know if there was going to be anything more after that. And then what happened was, I don't know if you remember, that's when Tony Iommi got sick, you know, he got cancer, and there was supposed to be the first like Sabbath tour in the summer 2012 in Europe. They didn't want to cancel that, so they turned it into a Ozzy and Friends. That's when the whole Ozzy and Friends project happened. I was part of that. So we went out and did another tour replacing the Sabbath tour, you know, that was announced originally. And the cool thing was that it was Ozzy with a band, which was us, and the special guests were like Geezer Butler and Slash and Zakk Wylde. So there was this massive jam every night, and it was incredible. So, I mean, right when I thought everything was done and over, you know, then this thing happened. And, you know, after that, you know, he went back and they did the 13 album with Sabbath, and they did the world tour, which lasted, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. And, you know, that was basically the end of the stuff that I did with Ozzy. I mean, we did some stuff sporadically here and there. Like we did like another South America tour. We did something in Japan. I think we did a couple of festivals in the US here and there. But it was just like one-off things here and there. I mean, from 2009 until end of 2015, so about 6 years, it was a great learning experience. Because, I mean, I had experience with doing my own thing, but I was not really used to being this hired gun, and certainly not at that big level, you know, because I, you know, I was doing stuff with my band, but never been a part of a huge band, like one of the biggest artists in the world like that. It was just very eye-opening and nice to see how like a big operation like that works. Yeah. In the studio, he didn't really, he just let me do my thing. He just let me downstairs because he had his own studio in his house. We would go to his house, and he would just let, you know, Kevin Turco, the producer, he was there. We would get there like at 10 in the morning, get a full day's of work done, and Ozzy would just come down like once or twice during the day and just, you know, see how we're progressing. And if we had something to play him, you know, we'd play it for him. And then he'd give some comments, or he was just easy. You know, he just let me do my thing. He tried to make me feel as relaxed as possible. Yeah. So he was really cool about it. Both him and Sharon, you know, they were just like, do your thing, man. Like, take as long as you need to make this album. Do what you got to do. And whenever you feel ready, just give us a call. We'll come downstairs and listen to it. Live, it was the same thing. Like he never really gave me specific instructions. I think he liked my approach, I guess, which was sticking to the original, sticking to how they were. I think he dug that. So there was never really anything like, oh, don't do that. Or don't do that. He never really told me things like that. He actually, in fact, he would encourage me to do more of my stuff over the songs. He would just tell me, yeah, be you, be Gus, you know. Maybe because originally I thought I have to copy too much of what Zakk was doing or what Randy was doing. And I think to a certain extent, I kind of did that on the first tour. It was a very different situation for me, you know, going from doing my own thing and playing my own songs to all of a sudden having to play the Bible of heavy metal. You know, how do you do that and please millions of fans? So, and as we went along, you know, as the years went by, I started adding a little bit more of my own flavor to it here and there. So, you know, probably today I would have done it a little bit different, you know, still sticking to it, but to the classics, but maybe would have felt a bit more relaxed about it. But back then I was like so stressed about it. I was younger too, you know, I was just 30 years old and it was, but it was cool, man.
Yeah, I bet it was cool. He probably learned so much on the road and just hanging out with Ozzy and all the great experiences he had. Now he tells me after the Ozzy years, he went on a solo career and continued with Firewind.
When Ozzy went back to Sabbath, I went back and did another Firewind record and tour. And that's when the singer left and I decided to put the band on a hiatus for a while. And I basically launched my solo career. I started doing, you know, I did my first solo record. I did a couple of records with guests on it. In 2014, I put out a record called Lamb of Fire. 2015, second record was called Brand New Revolution. So I had a lot of people on it. You know, people like Dave Ellefson played on it, Billy Sheehan, and I had Michael Starr from Steel Panther. I had all kinds of guests over it. And I started doing some solo tours, kind of like doing what, you know, what Slash did on the first solo album with all those collaborations. I kind of went for that type of vibe. And it was strange because I think a lot of the fans kind of expected me to put out a full-on shred record. And I didn't do that for until later, actually. But yeah, you know, back... I did that for a few years, and then in 2017, I brought Firewind back, and we regrouped, and we started doing some shows, and then put out albums again. Yeah, we had a couple of rough years, like everybody, you know, with the pandemic. We put out a record right when the pandemic broke out, so we couldn't tour it, and all of a sudden, in 2022, like, things opened up, and we've been touring pretty much nonstop, and came back to America, did a tour, we were there last year with Dragon Force, not last year, 2022. Then we toured Europe a lot and then went back in the studio and finished this record that we were about to put out. You know, it's called Stand United and it's coming out on March 1st. So, and right after that, we're going, like, as soon as the album comes out, we are on our next world tour. So it's, yeah, I'm very excited, man. Very excited. There's a lot of good stuff on it, I feel. It's our 10th album. Sometimes it's hard to be excited after 10 records, but but I am. I am, because there's like a revamped energy in the band the last few years. And I think the tours that we did really helped us kind of get our shit back together and sort of reintroduce the band to younger audiences and new audiences. And just, yeah, that inspired me to write this new record. Yeah. Well, we're not going to do too many festivals this year. Our singer is also in a pretty big band here in Europe. They're called Avantasia. It's like a, almost like a rock opera kind of thing, and with many singers. Yeah, so he's part of that, part of the main band. And, you know, they have like a lot of guest singers like Eric Martin or Jeff Tate and people like that. So they have a full festival schedule this summer, but we are going to be touring all spring, basically. You know, we kick off the tour February 28th in Frankfurt. We're doing Europe for a month. And then we come to America April 11th. We start in New Jersey and we're there until, I think we play 20 shows in America in about 25, 26 days. Unfortunately, no Florida, man. And a lot of people complained about that because the thing is, we had to cut the tour short a little bit because we have to fly right after that to Japan. So we were in Texas and we had to wrap things up to just catch on the next flight and go straight to Japan. But, you know, if this does well, we're going to come back for more for sure. So I hope people can come out and support, because we don't get to come to the States nowadays so much. But I want to change that. I want us to come over and do at least one tour a year.
Yeah, we look forward, Gus, to having you here in the States and seeing you with Firewind. Now I'm going to play that awesome record, Scream. Let Me Hear You Scream by Ozzy and Gus G.
Hey, this is Gus G, and you are listening to Guitar Tracks on WFIT, the best instrumental music on the Florida Space Coast.
Man, kicking some booty. Thrill of the Chase by Gus G. Before that was Gus G and his band Firewind, Fallen Angel.